1320 WILS. This week, Fed Chair Janet Yellen telling Congress that the Fed may not need to hike rates very much more and that they're actually close to a neutral level. So why the sudden change? Graham Summers with us, Chief Market Strategist at Phoenix Capital Research. You can find him at phoenixcapitalresearch.com. Graham, great to have you on WILS once again.
Pleasure to be with you, Michael. Thanks for having me.
You say that what she did this week was a 180-degree turn. How so?
Well, this was really a major change in the sense that for the last, at least the last 8 months, the Fed has been talking about embarking on what you would consider a pretty significant tightening schedule. And what that means is they're going to be raising rates repeatedly. And they started this, the first rate hike we had in over a decade happened back in 2015. They then did another one, that was in December 2015, excuse me. They then waited a year to do another one in December 2016. And so everyone looking at that was thinking, well, maybe they're not going to do many. And then suddenly they said, no, we're going to do three or four in 2017, and we're thinking about shrinking the balance sheet this year. And so looking at that, and this was, you know, not just one statement where they said this. This was repeatedly them commenting, numerous Fed presidents in the public, we're going to be raising rates, we're going to be doing all these different tightening things. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly yesterday, Janet Yellen comes out and says, actually, we're maybe going to do just a few rate hikes more total, meaning we're pretty much done. And when we do shrink the balance sheet, we're going to do it in a way that is not considered monetary policy, meaning we're going to try and do it in a neutral way that's not actually draining liquidity. So it's like if you or I were saying for 6 or 7 months, I'm going to be doing A and really repeatedly hammering that point home, and then somebody said, scratch all that, I'm changing everything suddenly. Mm-hmm. And it's really a pretty major change because you have to understand.
What happened, Graham? Why do you think this suddenly occurred here this week?
You know, there's a couple different ways you could look at this. It's always impossible to tell what exactly the Fed's thinking, but there's a couple different ways of looking at this. One is from a career focus. So it was pretty clear that when Donald Trump was running for president, he was somewhat critical of Janet Yellen as Fed chair. And there's been a sense of tension between the Fed and the Trump administration, at least that I've seen. And it seemed to me that there may have been a move by the Yellen Fed to try and normalize things as quickly as possible, with the idea being that in January 2018, she'd no longer have the job. Mm-hmm. Possibly she made a deal with Trump where she's agreed to hold back on tightening as aggressively and possibly helping sort of facilitate whatever agenda Trump's trying to do by lowering interest rates or easing. That's one way to look at it. Mm-hmm. Another way to look at it is that the Fed actually made a tremendous mistake. It has nothing to do with politics, but their policy was just simply a mistake to try and tighten as aggressively as they were. Mm-hmm. And they've actually sort of got religion, so to speak, and realized that they're not going down the right path, especially since the economy seems to be weakening. Yeah. A lot of myself and some other commentators have been wondering, you know, for 8 years, the Fed kept interest rates at zero. They let the debt basically double in size. And then suddenly they're saying, oh, my gosh, we've got to hike rates and debt's out of control. It's like, well, where was this mentality the last 8 years? Mm-hmm. So there's that view.
So suddenly a snapback. But she actually believes that the economy is doing well, right?
It's hard to tell. I mean, you have to remember there's two key quotes from central bankers that everybody should always keep in their mind. One is from Jean-Claude Juncker, who's over in Europe. He said, when it gets serious, you have to lie. So the point being there, the Fed's job is to maintain stability in the financial system. So you're never going to have a Fed chair come out and actually be brutally frank. And a great example of this is Alan Greenspan. Mm-hmm. Throughout his tenure at the Fed, he was completely clueless about what was actually going on. And then as soon as he left the Fed, suddenly he started saying the truth, which is, you know, that it was an unmitigated disaster. Uh-huh. So a lot of this is careerism. A lot of this is the fact that, you know, if your job is to maintain stability in the financial system, you can't come out and say, oh, my gosh, everything's out of control and we have no idea what we're doing. You know, the other side of it is, yeah, maybe she actually does think the economy is doing well. But if that's the case, I have no clue what data she's looking at, because the Fed's own data from its website shows that the economy is weakening dramatically.
So is your belief that she basically looked at the economy and said, wow, there's no way we can increase rates in this economic environment and actually cause a potential disaster?
Well, it's hard to see what she's really focusing on. A lot of commentators, myself included, believe that the Fed's almost entirely focusing on the stock market now. Because if you actually want to look at the real economy, you know, if you actually want to look... the strange thing about the recovery, so-called recovery we've had, is that the data points just make no sense. So on the one hand, you have unemployment at 4.4%, and they claim that's true. But then on the other hand, you have like 46 million people on food stamps. Mm-hmm. Those two things can't possibly both be true. So one of them's got to be either the economy's actually been very poor from 08 onwards, or the economy's actually done relatively well. But you can't have these two different kind of worlds colliding. So
That is confusing. Really sure. How do you read that? I mean, those are obviously two very different numbers. How do you explain that yourself?
It's very simple. I think the economy is actually unbelievably weak, but I think that certain key economic data points have become political tools, basically. Those are GDP growth, unemployment ratio, and inflation. Those three are complete fiction in this country. They haven't been accurate for decades. They kind of started massaging those metrics back under the first Clinton administration, the only Clinton administration. Then under W. Bush, it got worse, and then under Obama, it got even worse. It looks like Trump's starting to kind of continue this policy. But basically, what you do is you just do various accounting gimmicks to try and make it look better than it is. A great example of this is that 95% of the job creation from 08 to 016 was actually all a statistical error through various accounting gimmicks they employed. There wasn't really jobs being made. It was just based on these goofy models that they used to try and claim the jobs are being made in the country.
Okay, so you're saying the jobs numbers we get on Fridays, we see these hundreds of thousands of jobs, that's not accurate?
Not even close, no. I mean, no, absolutely not. See, one of the things they do is they have this thing called the birth-death model, which is basically... When businesses are being created and businesses are going out of business, it's not a linear or smooth progression. So the Bureau of Labor Statistics invented this thing called the birth-death model, which is that they just assume a certain number of businesses disappear every month and assume a certain number get created. And they use this also in the jobs numbers. They use similar such gimmicks. Well, that right there tells you that it's all being massaged right off the bat. It's not actually a literal number that actually meant what happened last month. And the really big problem is, I mean, I'm not really trying to rip on the bean counters, but the big problem is the 2008 crisis was so horrific that it screwed up the data so badly because it was such an outlier of a data point that they started gimmicking things even more to try and smooth over it. Mm-hmm. Because if you're looking at like 08, if you take from 2000 to today, 08 was such, and 09 were so bad that it just screws everything up.
Okay.
So what they did was they tried to smooth it over using these different gimmicks, but what it's done is it's made the numbers just fictitious.
Are you saying things have not improved at all since 2008?
I wouldn't say that. They have in some places, but basically what the Fed's done is the Fed just created another sort of massive bubble, and what that's done is it's made some people really, really rich because stocks have tripled in value since the 2009 bottom. So if you've got exposure to stocks or you're a wealthy person, you've taken advantage of this time to leverage up and you've gotten exponentially wealthier. But if you're an ordinary person working in, say, a factory or what you'd call the median income earners in this country, there's been almost no recovery to speak of. In fact, if anything, what you've seen is your cost of living go up and your income falling. In fact, I was seeing the other day, median income in this country is down since the year 2000. So, no, there hasn't really been a recovery for the bulk of people, and that helped contribute to the fact that Trump got elected. I'm not trying to get into politics but if the Obama years had been so fantastic, Hillary would have won in a landslide, wouldn't she?
Yeah, Graham Summers with us, chief market strategist at Phoenix Capital Research. You say the numbers aren't accurate, so 4.4% unemployment. What do you think that number really is right now?
It's probably closer to like 8 or 10. I mean, the other question is, what is a job? You know, a guy, a very solid, well-paying job that you can support a family on, that's very different from working three jobs, like, you know, being a waiter on two different shifts and a bartender.
Yeah, it's a whole different.
It's that gig economy,
right? That's what they're calling it now.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Graham,
that's what happened. Yeah.
Tell me this, Graham. So one of your assertions is that now the Dow is about to fall off a cliff because of what the Fed's up to. Why is that? What's going to happen here?
No, I'm actually, this whole Yellen thing has completely changed a lot of our predictions.
Okay.
So the reality is it's very clear that we've got ourselves another bubble, and it's a really big one. The question is, what's going to make this thing burst? You know, in 2000, it was the tech crash, and that was because people started, you know, we just reached such a peak in mania that it had to go absolutely parabolic or collapse. You know, in 2008... the crash was brought about by a peak in housing, which actually happened in 06. So today, we've just got bubbles everywhere. And the question is, what's actually going to be the thing that turns down, that actually bursts this thing? And it's hard to tell. At one point, I thought it might be possible the Fed's going to try and manage the stock market down, not burst it per se, mm-hmm. but by engaging in this hiking cycle, trying to get some of the froth out and get stocks back to a reasonable level. But now that suddenly she's turned around and said, well, we're basically not hiking much more anymore, and we're not going to be draining liquidity at all,
mm-hmm.
looking at that, it's changed everything. If the Fed's going to start easing again, then, yeah, it's possible stocks will go even higher. Mm-hmm. I mean, the reality is, if you look at the stock market today, based on pretty much any valuation metric, you could claim the stock market is overvalued.
Right.
But that doesn't mean it's going to burst tomorrow. Stocks can continue to get even more overvalued.
Right. Although I've had analysts who say that comparing it to the tech time, the late 1990s, that the valuations were much, much higher back then. That's they've told me. I'm certainly no expert.
Yeah. In some regards, that's true. In others, there aren't. What really is, you know, I actually wrote a piece a little while ago saying it's 1999 all over again. And the reason was there's three key things that we haven't seen since 99. The first one was that mom-and-pop investors have come back into the market heavily. And that only happens very rarely. You know, this idea that everyone owns stocks, it's true there's a lot of exposure to stocks, but it's mainly indirect through retirement funds. It's not you actually opening a brokerage account and stock picking. The only times that's happened in the last 20 years were the late 90s, and it's happened again today. The Trump win and the kind of massive rally we had in stocks after that has somehow brought in mom-and-pop investors where people are opening brokerage accounts and actively trading, which that's a kind of unique euphoria you only see during major bubble situations.
Right.
And, you know, back then the argument was, well, the Internet's going to somehow, you know, the tech situation is going to bring us to this economic utopia. And now there's this argument, well, the Trump administration is going to bring us to this economic utopia. But,
right.
Bubbles are bubbles.
Yeah,
right?
Some are even questioning that. Here's what I want to get to, Graham, because you say that Janet Yellen may have made a deal with President Trump or she sees the environment differently than she did before. But really, what do you think happened here? The interest rates are relatively low, right, historically. Why would they say they're now in a neutral level?
I mean, trying to figure out exactly what the Fed's thinking is almost impossible. You know, I mean, the Fed's currently run by people who are all career academics. There's no one who's actually run a business or even worked in major, but there's a few people who had positions at banks, but mm-hmm. not many of them. I'm not sure what Yellen saw. I mean, it's very strange.
What does that mean? If we keep our interest rates where they are now, what does that mean to us? Is this a good level for us to be in?
You have to look at it in the context of the globe. So the real question is, the Fed was tightening, and then on the other side of the Atlantic, you've got the European Central Bank, which is engaged in a massive trillion-dollar euro QE program, and their economy is growing faster than the U.S. is.
Hmm.
So that makes no sense. You know, if our economy, the economy clearly started slowing down in the last couple quarters. So the question at that point was, well, why was the Fed tightening? And especially, why would the Fed be tightening at a time when you've got other central banks engaged in very aggressive campaigns and their economies are actually growing faster than ours?
Okay.
Maybe the Fed looked at that and decided we need to ease. Maybe the European Central Bank is actually preparing to start taper their QE, and they made a deal with the Fed where they asked the Fed decided, well, we're not going to tighten to kind of smooth things over as you guys start tightening yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. All I can tell you is it's very early,
yeah.
but it's shocking to have had 8 months of this nonstop campaign that this big rate tightening cycle's underway, and then suddenly she comes out and becomes a complete dove. I mean, made her get religion? I don't know.
But it sounds like you think there's a lot of deals happening here. That it's not really just looking at the numbers, the economics of it. They're actually trying to coordinate some kind of deals.
No, looking at the actual economics data, there's absolutely no way that the tightening cycle the Fed was engaging in made any sense. We're clearly in the late stage of a business cycle. Why you would want to start tightening when the economy is already rolling over is just mind-boggling to me. Right. So I don't know. I don't know what Yellen was seeing or thinking. Right. That's why I posited maybe it's just careerism. I don't know, because it makes... Rationally, it makes no sense.
Graham Summers, he's the chief market strategist at Phoenix Capital Research. Find him at phoenixcapitalresearch.com. It is Graham Summers right here on 1320 WILS. Graham, thank you very much.
Always a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Michael.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.